let's have a little fun in this first half hour because we have another author with us on the program. She has written two books. One is called The Ivy Chronicles, which has to do with the insane things that parents do to fast-track their kids towards Ivy League colleges. I mean, we're talking in kindergarten, the strings they try and pull, the shenanigans that they go through or have to go through in order for their kids to only go into the right schools with the right people and wear the right clothing and all that. And now, Karen Quinn, who wrote that book, has a brand new one out called Wife in the Fast Lane. And these are fiction books, by the way, but they're sort of based on some of her real-life experiences. So she, in this book, which is really a very zippy and fun read, I've got 50 pages left. I'm just turning pages left and right on it. Has to do with this woman who zooms into this incredibly famous high-profile career. Everything goes right. She starts this company. She gets the right money at the right time. Everything's fantastic. And then her maid dies, and she winds up taking care of the maid's kid, and a whole bunch of other things go crazy and wrong and weird in her life. It's called Wife in the Fast Lane, and it's written by Karen Quinn, and Karen Quinn is on the phone with us as we speak. Karen, you there? Karen, hello?
Hello?
Ah, Mitt Mazel-Miklick. There we are. I love the new phone system at WGBB. And this is Dave Lefkowitz. You're on the air. Hello. Welcome to the Daverhood.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, so sorry about that. Anyway, yes. Did you hear any of the long, long intro, or were you just hanging
out? I did. It was so nice. Thank you.
Well, you're very, very welcome.
Yeah.
So, okay, how did your career start as a writer? Because you took a couple of twists and turns to get into the writing game.
I did. I had started a company called Smart City Kids, where I was helping families in Manhattan get their children into the very best nursery schools and kindergartens. And I did that for several years until I could do it no more. I just didn't have the stomach for it anymore. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll try to write a book about all the funny things that happened to me when I had this business. And that was my inspiration for writing The Ivy Chronicles. And it's, even though it's a novel, it's full of all kinds of things that really did happen that are quite pretty crazy.
For example?
Well, I'll give you just one example. I mean, one of the things I used to do when I had the business is I was always tutoring children, little like 4-year-olds, to get them ready for their kindergarten admissions test. And I remember once I was tutoring this little boy and I was teaching him colors, and in the middle of my riveting lecture, he fell asleep. And I told his mother, you better take this child home. And the mother said, oh, no, keep talking. He'll get it subliminally. And the terrible thing was, I did. I taught this sleeping child colors. I mean, this is just one example.
Well, maybe that's not so crazy. I mean, you are talking to the subconscious, and maybe it burrows deeply, becomes another Surratt or something.
Maybe. In fact, I actually thought, well, maybe that would be another addition to my business. I could make these tapes that they could play for little 4-year-olds while they were sleeping. I thought about it, but then I thought, no, I think that's going a little too far.
I think it's time for fetus Einstein tapes. That's what we need.
That's what we need.
Embryo Einstein.
I think that exists, actually.
Oh, please. Oh, good God.
No, I think parents get pretty, you know, they're getting pretty intense about wanting to be sure that their kids know what they're supposed to know by the time they get into kindergarten. And, I mean, I used to prep these kids, you know, really hardcore. And I remember working with this one little girl once, and I was just, you know, asking her all these questions, you know, like, what color is the sky? What color is the grass? And we were really, you know, cramming for her test. And she said to me, stop! Can't you see I'm only 4?
Oh, good God.
And that made me decide at that point, that was really when I decided to get out of the business. I said, you know what, this is not good. I think I'm pushing these kids too far, and I don't want to be part of it anymore. So
yeah,
it's a kind of a crazy, crazy world we live in.
And then, well, actually, this was before or after you were a lawyer.
Yeah, I started as a lawyer, and I was 15 years in marketing and advertising at American Express. And I was downsized from American Express, and that's when I started Smart City Kids. And then after several years with Smart City Kids, that was when I thought I would try to write the book. And I had no experience writing, except for my holiday letter. I wrote a good holiday letter. But other than that, I had not ever written anything before. And I thought, you know, I've always wanted to write a book, And why don't I try? You know, maybe I can do it. And so, you know, I sat down and I just, you know, wrote, and in 3 months I had the first draft of this book.
Wow.
It really poured out of me because I had so many funny stories to tell and you know, just it was just such a crazy experience.
And also, somewhere in there, I read in your bio, it wasn't just your deciding. I mean, you had a little telepathic help, in a manner of speaking.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I mean, I don't believe in this stuff, but it
you know?
Sure makes an interesting story, so go for it.
Well, I've been going to a psychic for years, and the psychic had been telling me, she said, you know, when you get to be like in your, you know, mid-40s, she say, something huge is going to happen. Huge. It's going to change your life. And I would go to her each year, and she would forget that she had told me that the year before. And she'd say, have I told you about this huge thing that's going to happen? And I kept saying, well, yeah, you told me about it, but what is it? Do you have any ideas about it? And she kept saying, no, she didn't know what it was going to be. Well, every year she told me about it, and I couldn't figure out what it was going to be. But when I sat down and I started writing the book, there was a moment where I read the book, and I remember thinking to myself, you know, this is a very funny book. This is good, and people are going to want to read it. And I realized at that moment that this was the big thing that she'd been talking about for years and years. And so I went back to see her, and when I walked in the room, she looked at me and she said, have I told you about this big thing that's going to happen to you? And I said, yes. And she said, have you been writing? And I said, yes. And she said, that's it. That's the big thing. I said, I know. I figured it out.
And that first book was pretty big. I mean, it sold how many?
Oh, we sold over 300,000 copies, and it's been optioned to be made into a movie and with Catherine Zeta-Jones. And, yeah, so it did really, really well.
So and that is life-changing.
It was life-changing. It really was. And it was definitely a career that, you know, now I've written Wife in the Fast Lane, and I'm working on another one, and I love doing the writing. I mean, I just love it.
What is your, I do a bunch of different things, and I always wish I had more time for the creative side of my writing. I mean, that's kind of an excuse, but at the same time, what is your routine? What is your regime of how do you do it every day or several times a week where you really block out the time and make it happen?
What I do is I get my kids off to school, so I'm a wife in the fast lane myself, and so I get them off to school, and then I just go sit at my desk, and I can work, if I really get on a roll, I can work for 8 hours. I mean, I'll stop for lunch, but then I'll get back to it, and I'll really work on it. So I try to work for extended periods of time all day, and what happens is sometimes you get sidetracked because you have to go market a book or, you know, do some other things. But I really try to focus on the writing as much as I can, and I just sit at my desk and I work on it. And the thing is, I do throw some of the material away. I mean, you can't be writing, you're not writing great stuff all the time. But I'm always trying, even when, you know, it doesn't seem to be coming. And in other days, it just flows very well.
And how do you balance then that with, I mean, you have a husband and kids and stuff like that? Or?
Right. I do. I have a husband, I have two kids, you know, a busy life, like so many women I know. I mean, everybody I know is balancing almost more than any of us can humanly do, but we do it anyway. You know, and I think that the way you do it is you just do the best you can with everything, and you realize that things are going to fall through the cracks, and that's okay. And I just laugh at myself when I make when things fall through the cracks, which they do all the time. It was funny. I was applying my daughter to get her into a new high school this year. And, you know, I'm supposed to be such an expert at it because I had my business. And I remember one day we rushed to get to this interview, and I was calling them, and I was saying, we're on our way, we're going to be there. And when we walked in, they said to me, you know, your interview's tomorrow. And I was like, oh, you're kidding.
Why couldn't they have told you that while you were on the phone with them?
They should have. I don't know. That's what I said. That's what but I had to be really nice. I didn't want to be rude about it, but that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, you should have told me that, while, you know, like 30 minutes ago when I called the first time. But I don't think the secretary who answered the phone knew that, you know, I think she found out later. But it was just one of those things, and instead of getting upset with myself, which I might have otherwise done, I just laughed at myself and said, well, isn't that cute?
And that goes into the next book, or...
Right.
Well, because even though you wrote the Ivy Chronicles, there's a bit of that whole private school madness that goes into your new book, Wife in the Fast Lane, because once this really successful corporate woman adopts the maid's kid, mm-hmm. you know, she has to bring that kid into the best school and what she encounters there. Now the villain of the piece, there's
yes,
a couple.
Brownie,
but this woman that she, yeah. Is that based on anybody?
Yeah, she's actually based on, I had a real person in mind. I call...
What's her name? Say the name.
But, you know, every school has one, like a PTA Nazi. You know, the person who just, like, is her whole life is the PTA. And everyone else, you know, we all try to volunteer when we can, but there's always somebody who that is their life, you know, and they're giving everything to it. And, boy, you better listen to this woman or you're going to be in so much trouble. And so that's who she was based on, was a few PTA Nazis I have met in my time.
Wow. What was, like, the most ugly experience that you encountered with someone like that for real? You don't have to use the name, although I would like you to. Well, because why not? Why not call them out?
Well, yeah, I know. I don't want to get sued.
If it's the truth, who can sue?
No, that's true. You're right. No, I remember, actually, you know, I don't know if you got to this part in the book, but it was true. It was a true story, and it was, I remember being part of a committee, or I volunteered to be part of a committee in an earlier school situation that we were in to help with a bulletin board. And when I got there, you know, there were like 8 women, and we were making one bulletin board, and we were going to have like, you know, 8 meetings to talk about the bulletin board. And we were hiring professionals to help. They wanted to hire professionals to help, you know, actually make the things that we were going to put up.
And in the book, I remember you had like 8 conferences, 8 meetings about this bulletin board.
Yeah,
that
was based on a true story. And I remember, I was working at the time, and I was doing this as just a volunteer thing, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You can't be serious. You know, don't these women have more to do? And the thing was, I think all of them did have more to do, but there was one or two women in the group where, you know, this was really important to them, and everyone was afraid to stand up to them. Because, you know, you might get on the outs, or, you might not get on any good committees the next year. So we all tried to you know, appease these women.
Wow.
So they do exist, yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah, and I, you know, because I talked to a number of women when I was writing Wife in the Fast Lane. I interviewed a number of women because I wanted good stories from women in this, living this lifestyle. And they did. They gave me some wonderful stories. But everyone talked about a woman like this in their PTA, no matter what school they went to.
Now, you live in Manhattan, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool, but I guess you're making, at the same time, the conscious choice to send your kids to private school as opposed to public school. I mean, is it just are the public schools where you live so bad, or what?
Well, the public schools in New York are actually, they're not great. If I was going to talk about all of them in general, they're not great. There are some really good schools in the city that you can send your kids to. And I did send my daughter for several years to a public school in the city. But when she got older, we had to move her to a private school. So, you know, there are good public schools, and if you know what they are and you can take advantage of them, then that's fantastic. And I know a lot of people who do. But there's a lot of schools that aren't so good, and that's really why a lot of people, you know, choose to send their kids to private schools. But when I had my business, we helped people get their kids into public school, private school, whatever it was they were looking for.
You helped people get their kids into public school?
Yeah.
What, were they retarded?
Yeah. You know what? I have to tell you something. Getting kids into public school in Manhattan is so complicated. You know, when I originally was looking as a parent, I the reason I looked at private schools at that time only was because I could figure out the private schools. But the public schools were too complicated for me.
Has to go to school. I mean, it's the law.
You need a PhD to figure out how to get your kid into a good public school in Manhattan. Because, yes, you've got your zone school.
Yeah.
And that one you can just, you know, show up at. But, you know, there's all these other schools that you have access to that you can test into or you can get a variance to get into.
So what it means is that the public schools that are left are the ones that all the rejects end up going to, and that's why they're crappy schools and the cycle continues.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. I'd say that's true, yeah. It's tough, but the good ones, I mean, and in fact, I think in the Ivy Chronicles I wrote about this, the really good public schools, you know, 24 hours before, people will be lined up on the day that you can enroll for the next year. They'll be lined up in the streets, you know, and camping out to get a place in a good school. That doesn't happen where you are at all?
It's school stock. Well, no, I mean, I live on Long Island,
yeah,
so it's a little different. So the public schools, at least in our area, are good. You go to the one in the zone because you're paying unbelievable, ridiculous taxes to
have
a decent school in your zone.
Uh-huh.
And then we have so many, so many Jewish people in the enclave where we're at that they end up going to a private school anyway because they want the Jewish education. So it's all sort of a weird thing here. We're talking, by the way, with Karen Quinn, author of The Ivy Chronicles and Wife in the Fast Lane. Have just a couple of minutes left, but I do want to ask, you've been on a book tour.
Right.
Recently, and I wonder what that's like, and have you had any fun or weird experiences going all across the country and selling your book?
Oh, well, you know, book tours are very interesting. I think that they're a lot of fun, and I enjoy them. I enjoy meeting people. And the thing about a book tour for most authors, I think, is that you go into certain markets and you'll have 100 people waiting for you, and then you'll go into another market and there'll be 2 people waiting for you. And so it's kind of weird when that happens. And I remember there was one market that I went into. It was a cold, snowy night. But there were 2 people there, one being my mother's best friend who lived in that city, and the other being another author who wanted me to give her a blurb for her book. So that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. I mean, and yet other markets, you know, you're you know, there and it's wonderful and you're, you know, tons of people there. So that's usually what it is. It's feast or famine with book tours.
And have you done television regionally? You know,
Well, I have done a lot of television since I've become a writer. You know, since I started writing, you know, I did The View, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, done some local news shows and that kind of thing. And it's fun. I really enjoy it. I never thought I would be doing any of this.
And you are a full-time writer now.
Now I am. Yes.
That's wicked cool. So, can I ask what's on the burner?
Well, I'm working on another book right now. In fact, I'm trying to get it finished at the end of May, and it's another what I would consider, you know, romantic comedy with an emphasis on comedy. I really like to write books that make people laugh, and so that's sort of the focus. Romantic but funny.
And please tell people how they can get the romantic and funny and really zany. I haven't read the Ivy Chronicles, but I am almost finished with Wife in the Fast Lane. How can people get both of these books?
Well, you can go to certainly to Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com or any bookstore and get it online, or just call your local bookstore or your library, and the books are there as well. So they're sort of available everywhere.
But, of course, this is a moment where you can push your website.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think of those things. I do have a great website. It's a lot of fun. KarenQuinn.net or theivychronicles.com. Either one will get you there. Or wifeandfastlane.com will get you there. There's a lot of fun things there, including some of the hysterical one-liners that mothers around the country have sent me. They've been inspired by Wife in the Fast Lane, and they've sent some great one-liners.
Such as,
I knew I was living in the fast lane when my husband asked me what my favorite sexual fantasy was, and I told him, you making love to me without waking me up. I thought that was good.
I think my wife would appreciate that. I don't
Oh, no, she wouldn't.
Let's have one more.
Okay, I knew I was living in the fast lane when my microwave went out, and my children cried because they did not know how they were going to eat.
Oh,
that's my house. That would be my house.
Well, hopefully, you know, with the sales of these books and the movie coming out, and I guess, what does that movie do of Ivy Chronicles?
Well, I'm guessing it'll be at least another year and a half away. They take a long time to write, to make these movies. They're working on it now, though, so I'm excited about it.
Well, by then you could probably have all the microwaves you want. And certainly, hopefully, all the success that you want for you and your family. A most happy Mother's Day to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Karen Quinn, thank you very, very much for being in the neighborhood. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye. Feel better.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
That was Karen Quinn, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Wife in the Fast Lane and the Ivy Chronicles. Well, I can vouch certainly that one of the books is a lot of fun to read, and a real quick and enjoyable and entertaining look at a certain level of society and motherhood.